Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules.
Well, welcome to another exciting show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California, and I'm your host for this wonderful journey tonight. We have Sandra Taylor with us, and you all may know her from her New York best-selling book, The Quantum Success. It is fantastic. You need to get this book and totally understand what is going on. And we are hopefully going to be discussing something that's not really talked a lot about on this show, and that's about the other important universal laws that will help us to understand the law of attraction a lot better. So stay tuned with us, because you're in for an excellent, excellent show. Now, before we bring out Sandra, let me just mention that next week our guest will be Sonia Ricotta, president of Lead Out Loud. Now, if you have not seen the incredibly inspiring video on my World Peace Through Thought page on www.lawofattractiontools.com, you need to go see it. It is fabulous. And Sonia developed this video, and it's all about we law of attraction people, or really anybody, to start getting out of the stands and start becoming a leader. It's just really good, and that's what she's going to be talking about, how we law of attraction practitioners can really be effective leaders. And you know I'm very, very passionate about the creation of a better tomorrow, and I keep on thinking, who is better to be the political leaders or the influential people making life-changing decisions better than the law of attraction followers? I mean, after all, we're the people who realize the power of thoughts and that emotions are energy, and we're the people who understand what it takes to create a safe and peaceful and prosperous world. So anyway, tune in to hear about these wonderful new concepts that I think you're really, really going to enjoy. Oh, and gosh, I just have to tell you about this major miracle this week. You know, a lot of you might know, because you were with us a week ago Saturday, we had a special broadcast for rain in the Australian outback. As you know, the outback has been having a terrible drought in which the sheep and the cattle were being put out of their misery due to no food and no water. July, August, and September are the normally dry months, and historically, August and September have been the lowest median monthly rainfall totals, historically. So quite a few of my listeners joined us with a meditation for rain as we raised our vibrations up and sending love and appreciation to this vast area known as the outback. Well, I received the first emails the next night, about 27 hours after the meditations, the first drops were felt. I later heard the next day that 2 to 3 days of rain were being forecasted. And then I just checked the weather today in Australia, and it's still raining there. Now, I don't know if it's enough rain to break the drought, but I do know that we did use our collective minds to visualize sheep and cattle walking to the rivers and the lakes and taking long, refreshing drinks as the farmers' fields yielded large crops. So we're still going to see what happens there, but we do know one thing for sure. Rain was not predicted, and now there's heavy rain. So it's really pretty interesting. And this power of collective consciousness is just incredible, absolutely incredible. I am so excited about this. Now I know there's going to be some out there that say, oh my gosh, this is a huge coincidence. Okay. Well, that's why I think that we need to continue to do more meditations, but have them benchmarked so that we know what can be attributed to the meditations and what can't be. It's just an effort to build up our confidence to do bigger meditations in which we may see immediate or we may not see any tangible results at all. Well, what a better way to see the effectability of the meditation than to have it pertain to us individually. So, next Wednesday, please put this down on your calendars. Next Wednesday, August 29th at 5 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, we are having a financial prosperity meditation, and it will be directed to only those who are participating at the precise time of the broadcast. Downloads will not be available, and it's not going to be repeated. So, again, for those who want to experience the success of collective consciousness, you must tune in to the Law of Attraction Talk Radio and get connected with the many, many people who are focusing on your financial prosperity success first, and then bringing their own intent to focus. I just know that you are going to see some incredible things happen, and I'm really excited about it. Now, there's some of you who may want to focus on winning the lottery. Well, that's great. Do what you want. But if you're going to go after the really big bucks, then you might want to work on releasing some of those old thought patterns and beliefs that may not be in complete alignment with you winning. But who knows? Maybe everything will work. The bigger intent, I think, the more aligned you need to be. So I don't know. Maybe Sandra can give us some hints on this too. But just tune in. I don't know what to expect, but I just know, and I feel that some really wonderful things will happen. And it will be definitely 30 minutes of feeling pure love. So just join us, and don't forget to send me an email and tell me about all your successes. I want to hear about it all. Okay, now, we've talked about that, so let me bring out this exciting, exciting author. She is just fabulous. Oh, boy, you guys are going to learn so much tonight. Her name is Sandra Ann Taylor, and she has been a counselor in private psychological practice for close to 25 years. Her practice encompasses hypnosis, guided imagery, I love this, and cognitive and cellular restructuring for the treatment of addictions, anxiety, depression, and relationship issues. She works with individuals, couples, and corporations on the energy of interpersonal relationships and life enhancement skills. Her latest book by Hay House is Quantum Success, on the New York Times bestseller list, and is being applauded by scientists, businessmen, worldwide leaders in the field of consciousness dynamics for being the first book of its kind to connect success and achievement to the science of personal energy patterns. Yes, 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 this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is just fabulous. Oh, I'm excited to have Sandra, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Julie. How are you?
Fine. I am absolutely thrilled that you're here with us today. I've just got to say that I've had comments from a few of the listeners already who have attended your workshop in Lilydale, and they said, oh, my God, it was absolutely fantastic. So beyond that,
thank you.
And everything else, oh, boy, this is going to be a great show. So...
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure, please. Can we just dive in?
Sure thing.
Some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now your book, Quantum Success. Now, you've had other books out there too, but I really want to focus on this.
Mm-hmm.
How is it different from all of the other books that are out there and profess to have the secret formula for success?
Well, I try to go into the science behind the consciousness creation and energy expansion and actually apply what happens in the physical and the wave and particle world to the human experience. And recently there have been some books that, you know, mention consciousness, expansion, and that type of thing, but I like to try and get into the nitty-gritty, and it really is compelling to understand how the science works, although I try not to get so deep into the science that people's eyes kind of glaze over. But I do try to talk about the principles, because once we understand that there are scientific reasons for the patterns in our human lives and in our experience with relationships and money and all sorts of things, then we can say, okay, I can handle this. I can change this. Like, it's like learning how to live with the law of gravity. Once you know what it expects of you, you can learn how to deal with it, and it won't kill you.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. Wow, excellent. So your book basically delves into the science behind it all first, and then you bring it out. So you mention that there are other universal laws.
Yeah, there's more than one law of attraction, and I don't like putting down any. I don't mean to disparage anyone or any book that talks about the law of attraction, because obviously there's a basic premise, but it's important to know the various levels of attraction. So it's important to know that not only is it energetic, it's consciousness, and that there are laws of intention, you know, and desire. There are what I call seven different laws of attraction, and it's not like you have to know each law. You have to know the principles, so like I said, you can work with it in your life. Once you understand it, you have this aha, oh my gosh, this is why this has been happening this way for my whole life. So it's you know, I had a client come to me. I do a lot of relationship counseling, and I had a client come to me and said, I'm a jerk magnet.
Attracting the jerks to you.
She's like, I'm a jerk magnet. And once we looked at what her consciousness was creating and the kind of energy she was expanding in the universe and projecting from herself, we were able to see that she was able, you know, to understand how she was kept attracting the same jerk, different name, different face, you know, but the same kind of critical and dismissive kind of person in her life. And once she changed that, she was able to attract a wonderful guy, and she's married now with two kids, and it totally reversed her life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, before we go into each principle or laws, how did you discover these laws to exist? How did you?
Well, like you were talking about coincidence, there is, you know, in terms of the rainfall and the meditation, and you really, when you look back on your life, there is no such thing as coincidence. There's synchronicity, and that's the kind of magic of people and places coming together to fulfill a destiny, a certain direction and destiny. And I was studying quantum physics. I was introduced by a friend who just happened to say, oh, you'll like this book. This is in the early 80s, I think, and at about the same time, I was in my psychological practice dealing with a lot of people who were having relationship problems, and it just kind of all came to me that you could, if you applied these principles of attraction, repulsion, and consciousness expansion, you could change your life. You could change the patterns. See, it's all about patterns. In the quantum physical world, it's all about patterns. And if you see your human life, it's all about patterns. You can see the same things happening over and over and over again. And
Absolutely.
So once you apply the understand how the patterns function and apply the principles, you can change it. So I started teaching my clients this, and they said, you know, where can I get a book on this? And I looked for it, and there were things on quantum physics and things about relationships, but nothing about them both. And that's what inspired me to write my first book, Secrets of Attraction, about 6 or 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And that applied the laws of attraction to the romantic experience.
I see. So there really weren't books out there. You had to go out and write them yourself.
Yeah.
Wow, that is pretty cool. Good for you.
It was a sign from the universe. You know, you can't ignore that when the universe kind of bops you on the head.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and that's the problem that some people have, that they're not paying attention to their bops on their heads, you know?
And if you don't, the bop only gets harder and harder.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know. That's hit me over the head. I don't know how many times. Okay, well, let's talk about some of these universal laws and give them names.
Okay. The first law is what I call the law of manifestation, and that's how you literally how you create your destiny, how you manifest what you manifest in your future, in your life. And the law of manifestation in quantum physics is based on consciousness-created reality. Now, if you study consciousness-created reality in the patterns of the universe, you'll find it's a pattern in cosmology and how the universe is formed and the measurement of light. I could go into the science of all the various consciousness-created reality experiences in the physical world, but that would take the whole hour. So let's just rest assured that it is firmly believed in the scientific world that consciousness creates reality. Now, in the human application, that means your consciousness creates your reality. Your consciousness will determine what you manifest. Your life cannot create something different unless you become conscious of something different. And so that's where a lot of people get stuck. If you're always conscious of what you lack, your consciousness can only manifest more lack. If you're always conscious of the problems in your life, it can only manifest more problems. If you're conscious of being a victim, it can only manifest more situations where you become victimized. So it's very, very important. And at the there are several layers of this. Consciousness is created by your perceptions, your imagery, your expectations. In other words, if you get up in the morning and expect your day to be kind of dull or even miserable, burdensome, I hate to go to work, that type of thing, your expectation is projected in your consciousness. And then if you can't, the universe can't reconcile, well, she expects her day to be miserable, but she's expecting something wonderful to happen in the future. You know what I'm saying? This is called conflicting consciousness, conflicting intention, and there's more of that in the law of intention. So you have to be sure that you support your daily intentions and your life intentions must align. In other words, if I want happiness in the future, I need to start to becoming more conscious of what I have in my life that makes me happy now. I cannot constantly be conscious of the negativity and then have my consciousness create something positive. It can't be done. It's impartial. It doesn't care. It's like the law of gravity. It doesn't have it in for us if we step off a second floor balcony. It's just there. And the consciousness created reality is there, and we must be aware of what we're constantly focusing on, what we're conscious of, and try to shift our consciousness into more value creation and more sense of appreciation so we can create a higher level of consciousness that will manifest a different reality, a happier reality.
So how that basically sounds like the law of attraction.
Yes, but that's actually, there's a subtle difference, because I'll tell you what, the second law that I have is the law of magnetism, and that's what I think generally people feel is the law of attraction, and that's energetic.
Good.
That's literal vibration. In addition to our consciousness moving out in a picture of what we expect, we literally create a picture, and we might not be aware that we're doing it. That's our consciousness. We create a picture of what we expect, and the universe says, oh, that's what you expect. Send it down. And so if we expect to be miserable, that expectation goes out. But our energy, our vibration, is a subtle difference. So we're always vibrating. Of course, you know that quantum physics has found that everything is more vibration. The string theory indicates that we're more vibrating energy than we are actual substance. So we're all like little radio stations out there sending out a signal of vibration. And the people and situations in the universe that will resonate with that signal are the ones we're going to attract. It's called entrainment. If they match the signal, they'll be drawn into our lives. So if I'm in a high emotional state, whether it's joy or anger or fear, that vibrates in my energy. And I'm going to, you know, that's going to send out a resonance, an actual signal that says, you know, this is who I am and this is what I'm vibrating at. And then people who vibrate at the same level will be drawn to me. And so I need to know that if I'm constantly criticizing myself, that's a part of my vibration. It creates an emotional reaction, and that emotion charges my vibration, and that's going to go out in my message, and I'm going to be attract someone who's going to be more than willing to criticize me also. In fact, that's probably how they're going to get their power. They're going to be very attracted to me because that vibration is such a strong resonance. And in fact, when we fall in love, you know, people talk about chemistry, but it's not really chemistry. It's resonance. And if I resonate with someone, if I'm constantly criticizing myself, I'm just using that as an example. There are many different resonances.
Sure.
If I'm criticizing myself, I will resonate with the person who wants to criticize me, and I will be very attracted to that person, even if it's the worst thing for me. Even if it's the thing that pushes my worst self-esteem buttons and self-worth buttons, but I will be very attracted. There will be a high level of chemistry because the resonance feels right. So that's why we have to be aware of the emotion we're vibrating at. So there's a slight difference between the consciousness thing. The consciousness is like expectation and imagery of kind of like, I see it as a kind of floating bubble, and it sends a picture out. But our vibration is literally a resonance, and people tune into that. And it's very compelling. It's very compelling. So we need to be aware what kind of vibration we're resonating at.
Wow. Wow, that is really, really interesting and so well put. You know, I never even recognized that before. Now, so is that saying that when you do recognize or when you do have that immediate attraction, because you're not at a higher level, is it automatically a bad thing? Can you ever?
Oh, no, it's not automatically a bad thing. It can be. See, that's what we have to be aware of, how we vibrate, but it can be a very good thing, too. And an instant attraction, you know, I won't even get into past lives and stuff like that. There could be some of that energy going on. But an instant attraction usually means a resonance at a deep level. So, you know, if I'm resonating, in fact, this is how I attracted my present husband. You know, I had been divorced twice, and I was like, I am not doing that again. That is no fun. I'm not doing that again. So I am only going to vibrate at the kind of level that I want. And I sent out energetic, I literally would go to bed and do this imagery thing and send out energetic, you know, intentions of the highest energy, and this, and I program that I want a man with integrity, a sense of humor, a nice financial portfolio.
Yeah, of course. Why
know,
not?
I mean, I had previously had to support my second husband, so I mean, that had become an issue because it was a source of hostility for us. Anyway, So I created all this energetic intention, and then I created the intention to vibrate at that same level. If I wanted someone that was happy, I needed to create happiness in my life. If I wanted someone with integrity, I focused on always having integrity in my dealings with people. I focused on being financially responsible. I tried to create that. And in fact, it only took me a couple months, about 3 months, till I found my present husband. And if we just resonate.
Wow.
So it can be a very good thing to have a strong resonance. It's just that you want to be aware that of what your resonance is, and you want to create intention about it. Most people have no clear intention, no focus on how they want to resonate.
So right, they don't know how to dream.
Right, and they don't know how to dream, and they don't know how to create their own energy to project that dream with real strong force to the universe.
Yes. So that's my next question. How do you create the energy?
You need to be aware of what you want, and then you need to try to create the value of that in your own life. Sometimes, like if I know I want something in my life and I don't feel like I have it on a certain day, maybe I'm tired or something, I call for my higher self and I say the thing that I want to create, whether it's grace or dignity or just stamina. And I visualize it coming from the vibration of my heart center in my higher self. And I just keep repeating the word stamina, stamina. And I just breathe in and feel it moving through my cells. And then you can start to sense that that's vibrating in your energy.
Mm.
But you need to know what you want. See, that's the other piece of it, too. You need to know what you want clearly. You can't just say, I want somebody to love. You know, the universe can send you some bozo, and you could love that person, but it may not be the healthiest person. So you want to be very clear about projecting your intention, which is what the next two laws are about. The laws of desire and intention are being very clear about what you want and putting some genuine, pure, clear, intentional focus. This is what I want. I know I deserve it. I believe that it's there in the universe, and I know that it can come to me, that I am just as worthy as anyone else to receive. And as you create that, if you create a clear intention, specifically knowing what you want, and then you don't toxify it by becoming urgent or desperate.
Mm.
Now, here's another thing that a lot of people don't understand when they talk about the law of attraction. There's a law that I call the law of paradoxical intent. This is hugely important. And what the law of paradoxical intent says is that the more desperate you are to achieve a certain goal or certain end result, the more your desperation, that negative vibration of urgency, will actually push it away. You know, I get emails from all over the world because my book is translated into 12 languages now. It's available all over the world. And, they say, I'm doing the law of attraction. I'm only focusing on what I want. And, I email back on how often are you focusing? And they're like, all the time, morning till night, you know what I mean? And so their desperation, I said, your focus has shifted from focus to obsession. And what happens then? What is your core energy then? You know, when you talk about the core in nuclear physics, it's the place where all the action takes place. In terms of the atom bomb and nuclear bombs, the core is where the fissionable material comes together to create a chain reaction. And, you know, scientists thought that it took a lot of material. It doesn't take a lot of material to create a huge chain reaction. And this is good news for us. We don't have to work, for the rest of our lives trying to reverse this energy, but we do need to accumulate some important core energy. And the thing that we need to have at our core is an understanding that we are capable of providing our own happiness and our own fulfilled and valuable life for ourselves. When we move into desperation, think of what kind of energy is in the core. It's a universal statement. I am incapable of being happy without X. You know, like I have so many clients that have the fundamental core belief, I cannot be happy without a husband.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
And I know plenty of married people who'll testify to the fact that a husband does not necessarily bring you happiness.
Hey, I will testify to that.
Me too.
I'm
first wives club, Julie.
Yeah, really. And I'm happily single, and there's a reason for that. But let's go into detail then about getting desperate. I think we need a little bit more of an example. Say, let's give an example. Yeah, there's a person who is just struggling to make ends meet and have bills due and cannot pay them. Now, what do you say? I mean, what do they do to raise their vibration up? Because no matter what, it still comes back to the fact that they don't have the money to pay the rent and they're going to be evicted. So how do you not concentrate on that detrimental thing that could occur?
Well, it's hard when you're at a place that your back is against the wall. I mean, people, you know, in that state where you can't pay the rent or you can't pay the mortgage and you might lose the house or, you know, you have a terrible disease and, you know, you're desperate to live and that type of thing. What you want to do is shift from desperation to determination. You need to say, being desperate about not being able to pay the rent actually doesn't pay the rent either.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
You need to say, obviously, you have to tackle it on two levels. You have to tackle it on the technical level, like, you know, where can I get this money and what bill needs to be paid first and, you know, how can I manage this until I get through this crisis time? But as you're working on the technical side, you have to look at your core energy and say, all right, I got to breathe, I got to relax, I need to deal with this in a way that doesn't sabotage my desire to make more money. If I'm desperate to make more money, I will only dig myself deeper into this hole because my desperation is a toxic, poisonous energy, and that energetic vibration will be what we draw back, and it can only create a consciousness of lack, and that consciousness will be what is created. So if I'm paying my bills, and even if I can only pay $10 or a minimal amount to the charge, or, you know, if I can call the landlord and say, can I pay half this month or whatever, at the time I'm paying the bills, instead of going, oh, my God, I don't have enough money, how am I going to make this work, to take a deep breath and say, you know what, I appreciate this apartment that I'm paying my rent for. I appreciate the stuff that I bought on this card, and I create a new intention to purchase less until I'm out of this difficulty. I create an intention to really appreciate everything that I have in my environment already without having to spend too much more. And you try to create a supportive energy of appreciation instead of, oh my God, I don't have the money to pay this, and I don't have the money to pay that, and everything becomes a catastrophic thought, you know, worst case scenario. But that worst case scenario kind of thinking just kind of gets you embroiled into that, remember I said, that high emotional energy of vibration, of panic and stuff. And so, and not only does it attract negative stuff to you, it causes you to move out of your spiritual center, and we become less creative, less resourceful, less problem solving, less, you know, we have less synchronicity. And so we want to connect with our spirit, not move out of our spirit. And panic always moves you out of the spirit. When you move into the spirit, you drop your consciousness into your heart center, and you breathe and you say, you know, I know there is a solution. you know, I am connected to the divine source of all abundance, and I know there is a solution. I will keep making these payments. I will keep getting through this, and I will choose to perceive appreciation and value as I'm taking care of this, and I reconnect with my spirit. In the spirit, all things are possible.
Wow. Wow, Sandra, it's like you're filling in all of the pieces to the puzzle here that I know a lot of people have been asking. I've got a call, too, and I'm going to try to bring them online. And I know that they have probably a question for you. Are you there? It's from area code 760, which appears to be out in the San Diego or high desert area. Are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, there you are.
Hi.
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 Yeah, my name this is Andy.
Hi,
oh,
Andy.
Hi, Andy.
How
You're
are
calling
you?
From Fallbrook. I know you.
Yeah, you know me. I'm with the Gathering Project.
Yeah.
And
don't
I
you?
Huh?
Don't you think Sandra is fabulous?
Yeah, I live it myself. But the one thing that I didn't hear her say, and I wanted to talk to her about that, is it's great to have the intention, and it's great to have the thoughts, and generate that intensity in your mind. But I'm a big believer in action behind the intention.
You
in
do have
words,
to have action.
If I was going to say I wanted to make a lot of money, but I didn't leave the house.
That would be pretty tough.
Right. And then when you were trying to find that husband, you put yourself in situations where you would meet men like who you were talking to. So I think the action part of it is real key, and I just wanted you to talk about that a little bit, if you could.
Yeah,
good question.
You need to support. Here's the problem with a lot of the law of attraction concepts: is that it's very one dimensional. That I'm creating the intention to find a good job, to win the lotto, to find the partner, and it's like a surface layer. But you need to support it in two intrinsic ways. And I do talk about this in my book. You know, about the steps that you have to take in terms of your action. You need to support it in planning, preparation, and moving in the direction of your goal. The movement, here's an important thing. Another law is the law of expanding influence. And when you know about the law of expanding influence, you know that every step you take in the direction of your goal expands the intention. So if you're just sitting there and creating a mental intention, there's no expansion of it. It's
right.
Just a linear one level thing. So you have to take steps in it, and that expands the intention in the universe. And even though the solution may not come in the direction that you're taking the steps in, you may be surprised it comes from a different, an entirely different direction. But your steps is what expanded it in the consciousness of the universe. So that is a huge piece.
No, that's why I just wanted to bring it up, because I wasn't getting that. It wasn't coming across that way, and I think that was important, too.
Oh, it's very important. And then there's the other piece that's important in terms of support, and of that linear, superficial intention cannot thrive without the action that you brought up and the support of your life force. You must support your individual intention with your life force. You cannot intend to be wealthy if you do not perceive yourself and have an emotional sense of your value and your self-worthiness now. It must be supported by your life force. I get so many emails from people saying, I'm focusing and why isn't it happening? And they're living in all this sense of deprivation and lack and fear of not making it.
Yeah, they don't own it.
Right, exactly. So your whole life, it's like a trajectory that shoots this intention out. If your whole life is behind this, your life energy, your vibration, your consciousness, and your intention, that creates a huge, dynamic, brilliant kind of radiance that just moves outward and attracts things at a very synchronistic level where magical things happen.
No,
okay, well, let me bring up something now. If you how do you know you're taking the right actions? Are you going? Can you tell by your gut reactions? if it feels good? Are you going in the right direction, or if it feels bad, how do you tell if you're going in the right direction?
Well, you want to balance it with a certain amount of research and analysis and what's right for you, and then you want to embrace it and do an intuitive sense of it. Here's the thing, if you are not going in the right direction, you'll find that out, and you'll be able to redirect yourself. So many people are fear-based about this. It's so interesting. I get these emails saying, am I doing the law of attraction correctly? You know, they're afraid to step out of, you know, and you know, I had a negative thought about myself today. Am I ruining my intentions? You know, and I constantly tell people, you know, don't add fear and negation to your life force. If you think a negative thought, just forgive yourself and move on. And if you then blame yourself for the negative thought, you're only adding another negative thought. It's like adding negation to negation. And if you're afraid about misstepping and taking the wrong action or doing the wrong consciousness, am I visualizing right? There's all this energy now about, am I doing this right? That's just adding fear to it.
Absolutely.
So you trust yourself, you move in the direction that you feel, and you've researched, and you know that this is kind of supports what your life goal is, and if it's honoring to you, here's another question. Is this honoring to me? If the answer is yes, then you're probably moving in the right direction. It might not recreate the results, and you might get a sign from Spirit or the universe that you need to take a shift, but you can never do something wrong if it is honoring to you, and it never dishonors another person to be honoring to yourself. If you live a life where you ask yourself, does this honor me, your core energy can only tell the universe, you're telling the universe, send only honoring people and situations my way. I will not accept anything less. And then your life just blossoms.
Wow. Very, very good.
I guess that answered my question.
Okay, good.
That was a good one, Andy.
Yeah, great. Thanks for leading us in that direction.
Well, no problem. That's what I'm here for, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well,
thank
hey,
you.
Hey, Andy, stay on the line, and then you'll come up with some more questions.
Okay.
Andy is just a very, very dear friend of mine, and he's just a wealth of knowledge, and the Gathering Project that he's doing, it's like a huge resource center where people can go and get all of this information. And he's like national, international. It's just fabulous. So,
wonderful.
He is really a terrific person. So anyway, well, let's go on. What else do we need to talk about here? Now, in addition to the energy techniques, what about the four steps to success?
Well, that's what the kind of thing that Andy was talking about. You know, the technical side is, you know, you have to figure out what you want to do, and then you need to commit to your goal. So many people I'd like to write a book. I think I'd like to learn how to play the piano. I want to go to Russia. I want to do this or that. And then what happens is their life is more immediate. Not necessarily more important. Like, I have to pay the rent. That's more immediate than writing the book, so I need to keep my day job until... And then when I get home from my day job, I've got to cook dinner for the kids. And then you see what I'm saying? It's immediate, but it's not... it's not important, or it may be important to feed the kids. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. That's a little top priority, yeah. Uh-huh.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like if you do not commit to it and make it a priority, then, you know, at least by spending a certain amount of time every day either researching it, working on it, figuring out your short-term goals and your long-term goals, taking some sort of action every day is another. You set up a plan, you commit to your goal, you take action every day, and then the fourth step is truly important in terms of this paradoxical intent. You keep working on the goal without getting emotionally attached to it, like I have to make this happen in order to see myself as a success, or I have to make this happen in order to accept myself or see myself as valuable. Those are the things you just keep, you shift from desperation to determination, and you keep taking the action and make it an important piece of your life so that 30 years from now you don't look back and go, why didn't I make the time to write that book or to learn how to play the piano?
What works for me a lot is I visualize being where I want to be or doing what I want to do and living in the future, so to speak. So I've already accomplished the intention,
mm-hmm.
and I put that focal picture in my mind, and I live it, even though I haven't gotten there yet. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, you live it in the and visual is a very important part of consciousness creation. The visual imagery, and I could go into a lot of things about neocortex and how your body processes information, but it's very important to visualize the end results that you want. Put yourself in the end results. You know, I had a client who said, I want a Lexus. He visualized a Lexus in front of his house, and he came home from work one day, and there was a Lexus. He thought his wife bought it for him, and it was the next-door neighbor's. He called me, and he said, why didn't I get it? I said, you know, Pete, did you put yourself in it when you were doing the visualization? No, it was in front of my house. I'm like, you got to put yourself in the visualization.
Right. Turn the key, yeah. Start it up.
Yeah, really. That's a great point.
Put yourself in your visualization, but then it's also helpful to visualize your day and just at least picture yourself doing one thing that's going to take you to that end result that I can do today, whether it's making that call to see if that person's willing to be a mentor or even just visualizing the fact that you're visualizing, visualizing yourself writing or you know, your business plan with joy and excitement. You know, visualize yourself doing something today. Some people get stuck in the future end result visualization, and they don't what you initially called about, Andy, which was taking the action.
Yeah, you kind of have to live in both places at the same time.
You have to live in both places, and sometimes it's helpful to stop for a moment in the morning and just say, okay, I'm going to picture myself, you know, calling that person. That's a difficult call for me, but I'm going to visualize it going well and see the end results of the daily task, too. So I recommend them both.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that is a big hang-up with a lot of the Law of Attraction teachings, not all of them, but some of them, is that they visualize and then they stop it there. They don't take the necessary action or
mm-hmm.
they don't even go into that direction. They just assume that magic is going to show up, which it could.
It can. Well, you never know when it's going to magically occur. But the fact is, like I said, the more you support it with your life, with your emotional energy, your self-honoring, and your action, this is your whole life, the more it is accelerated in your, you know, intention to the universe. Our intentions are our order forms. You know, you're saying, I want this, I want that, I want the guy, I want the house, I want the job, whatever it is. This is what I intend. But then if you don't have support from your whole life, you might have a thought that, oh, I'm too old to find the guy, or, you know, I'm too tired to work on it today. And, you know, you have what you're doing is you're sending conflicting intentions. So the universe gets the order form, and then it gets to cancel that order. So it's like, all right, so what should we do? It's like if you went into a restaurant and said, well, you know, I'd like the lobster, but I can only afford the tuna. And, you know, I'd like the steak, but, you know, I really am only worthy of a hamburger. <You know?
laughs>
And then the waitress would go and, you know, just throw up her hands and go away. You know, you have to go in and you have to support. You have to keep sending out the same energy. It's like a pipeline into the field of abundance, the field of all possibilities. If you study the uncertainty theory, you'll know that anything can happen in a split second. It can happen in a moment, but it's more likely to happen in that split second when you support it with your whole life force, and that's the key.
That is the key. That's excellent. Well, that is absolutely fantastic. What now on this collective consciousness meditations, do you think that we need to be doing something? I mean, evidently it worked for the rain, but as far as all of us getting together, is there something that maybe we need to be looking at?
Oh, Julie, it's wonderful that you do this, because if you understand how energy expands in the universe, the more that you get people together, you create a vortex of energy. And there's something called, I don't know how much you want to, it's called morphogenetic fields, M fields. And what it is that if more and more people devote a certain kind of energy to a certain intention, it goes into the M field, the morphogenetic field. Morphogenetic means how change is born, how change is formed. And so if every time I have a hateful thought, whether I'm just looking in the mirror going, I hate my hair, something as simple as that, that feeds the M field of hate. And every time I have a loving thought, look in the mirror and damn, I'm good looking.
God,
whatever
yeah.
it is, you know, or just a loving thought to my kid, anything, then that feeds the field of love, and that expands. So when you get people together to create a single-minded intention, even if it's about the world or if it's about them individually, that thought expands, and then it creates a wider vortex of energy, and that will accelerate and increase the results. Expanding
wow.
influence. It's so good that you're doing that, because, you know, if I'm just going to concentrate on, you know, making more money, or if I'm going to concentrate on bringing more rain to Australia, if all of us are doing it one time, it creates, it's like an energy, accelerator in the universe.
Uh-huh.
When you do experiments in quantum physics, they do them by exciting the particles. And this is what happens. It excites the energy, and it creates the results in a much more dramatic fashion. So that's great
wow.
that you're doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And I really, I want to do this financial one just so that it's going to build the confidence of people to know that we can actually go above and beyond and focus on peace in the Middle East.
Yep.
Oh,
or,
absolutely.
Or absolutely creating, getting rid of the global warming or
mm-hmm.
whatever it is.
And even focusing on the finances of the American economy. You know,
oh, you're
so many
absolutely
industries
right.
industries that, like the auto industry and the steel industry, and so many people are unemployed and uninsured.
The mortgage industry right
yes,
now. The mortgage,
yes.
oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good timing that you had her on just before the meditation, huh?
I know it. You know, the universe works really magnificently, doesn't it?
That
yeah.
synchronicity is always amazing.
Because I'm sure you've cleared up a lot of things for a lot of people.
Well, thank you, Andy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been a fantastic show. And, well, we've still got a couple more minutes, so you're not going anywhere.
Okay.
I got more. Now, you had on there that you actually do some things for the addiction problems. What can you do for that? And what is that? You said something about alignment or bringing the cellular alignment or something.
Yes.
What is all that about?
Well, when we have a trauma or a pattern that develops in our physical and emotional and etheric body, what happens is we get cellular memories. And I'm not going to get into neuropeptides. There's a whole neuropeptide thing that happens with addiction. But you can, in my next book, I'm talking about the neuroplasticity of the brain and how you can change your brain chemistry and your brain patterns so that you can realign your energy and reintroduce the health that your cells used to have. In other words, before I became an alcoholic, I had a healthy mind, a healthy liver, a healthy body. Before I became addicted to food, I had a healthy attitude towards, you know, what to eat and how much to eat before I addicted, you know what I mean? Any kind of thing that anyone has an attachment to, an obsession with, they have realigned, they have trained their cells to respond in a certain way. And I actually do something called cellular regression, where we go back to before the pattern or the trauma or the injury, and we reacquaint the cells and the consciousness and the etheric body to what it was like to be healthy before all this, and then we go back to divine consciousness, which is the pure, healthy, originating state of all cells. So over time, then, you can really just get past it in ways that are much more accelerated than, you know, some of the psychological stuff.
Absolutely fantastic. Of course, that makes all of the sense in the world. Yes, and we do know that your brain can rewire itself.
It absolutely can. It's amazing. It's really empowering. When you realize, when you put your own power, your physical, mental, emotional power, and you connect it with these powers in the universe, you have unlimited potential. It's just so liberating and so empowering to realize I can choose to do something differently and get totally different results. Wow, I'm free.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my gosh. You know, I'm going to urge everybody out there who's listening right now and who will be listening for the next 6 months, because the show will keep on coming up. I got to tell you, you got to go out and get this book, Quantum Success. And you've got to go and look at Sandra's website. She's got a whole bunch of other products on there. You're not going to go wrong with this, because just in this hour, she has filled in the blanks where other teachers could never go before. This is absolutely fantastic. And well, I am so delighted that she agreed to come on the show.
Well, thank you, Julie. I enjoyed this so much, and I feel such a strong resonance with you and with Andy and your listeners. I just feel like I'm in some sort of vibration of mutual love. I love it.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah, we're vibrating real high right now.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. This is super. And do you have any seminars or workshops or anything that are coming up that perhaps somebody could come?
I just finished a whole long series of stuff, but I am doing something called What the Bleep is the Secret, and I'm doing it at the Journey Expo, Mind, Body, Soul Expo here in Northern Ohio. So if there's any Ohioans, they can get the information from thejourneymag.com. So
wonderful.
That's the only thing between now and Christmas. I'm taking a break because my next book is due.
How far is that from Pittsburgh?
I'm sorry?
How far is that from Pittsburgh?
That's only about 2.5-3 hours.
Oh, because we have a group in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Well, send them over to thejourneymag.com.
Okay.
I believe I'm appearing on Saturday. Isn't that terrible? I don't even know. I just say, tell me when and where, and I'll be there.
That's okay. That's wonderful. Okay.
Saturday,
and
the 7th of September, or the 8th of September. So.
So is there a chance that you're going to be coming out to California?
Actually, I'm scheduling something for the spring, so I will let you know.
Oh,
I'm scheduling
something
for the spring, a whole tour between L.A., San Diego, Santa Barbara.
Oh, that's us, San Diego.
Yeah.
It's San Diego. We want you in San Diego. Yeah, L.A. too, but
okay.
That'd be great.
Matter of fact,
I'd love to get you on before that. Again, before you get here, so that we can get everybody really going. This is just fantastic, and I can't thank you enough. And I can see our time is just running short completely. This is just terrific. Thank you so much, Sandra.
Thank
will you,
you
come
Julie.
On
and
again?
And if anyone has any questions, I will. And they can contact me through sandrataylor.net, not .com, sandrataylor.net.
Absolutely, and I have got everybody, I've got Sandra's information on the show notes, as well as a link, direct link to her site from this page. So just contact her, and please go out and get her book. You will not regret it, I guarantee it. So, Sandra, thank you so much. And Andy, thank you so much for calling in, buddy.
No, it was a really interesting show. I couldn't help myself. Sorry.
I know.
Thank
you. It's fascinating. All right. And we will talk to everybody next week. Again, thanks for a great show. Good night.
Thanks,
Bye.
Julie.
Uh-huh.
Hello?